Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, good morning, campers. You guys having the best time? Oh, yeah. Who got good sleep last night? Okay, couple cabin leaders. Congratulations. You didn't sleep? Oh, no. You know the... Yeah? I think one of the good things about not sleeping is that I always sleep better the next night, right? So if you didn't sleep last night, don't worry. I bet tonight is going to be a great night of sleep. Okay, guys, get your Bibles out. Turn to the book of James. We're on session two, but let's read the whole verse one of James. I know, we're throwing so much at you, verse by verse. Okay, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 1. So you're looking for the big one, and sometimes they don't put the little one for the very first verse. James 1, verse 1. Okay, if you found it in your Bible, read it with me. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Okay. So today we're talking about this letter from Brother Jimmy, but let's do a little recap of yesterday. Okay? If you guys remember, James is the actual brother of Jesus, but saw himself as Jesus' servant. And I think that's so cool because James is a person who knew Jesus really well as his brother, but wrote this letter that we're going to talk about today to us to encourage us and to teach us about Jesus' teaching and to tell us how to be his servant as well. Now, I wanted to stop at this first verse because I want us to talk about this book that we have in our hands called the Bible, okay? So I have a couple of questions for us as we begin. Question one, in your Bible, is James a book, a chapter, or a letter? A book, a chapter, or a letter? What's your name, bud? Scott, what do you think? Okay, he thinks it's a book. Okay, would anyone agree? If you think it's a book, if you agree with Scott, raise your hand. Okay, you think it's a book. But isn't this a book? Okay, this is a book. Okay, do we have someone who would maybe say something a little bit different? Right here, is your name Adelaide? Ha! I love that name. Because my daughter's named Adelaide. Okay, Adelaide, go ahead. It's all of them? She thinks it's all of them. If you agree with Adelaide and think it's all of them. Okay. I heard someone say no back here. What? Who's that? Who said no? Way in the back? Okay, buddy, what's your name? Justin, what would you say? Why did you say no? It's a book of the Bible, so maybe you think it's not a chapter. What do you think right there?
I think it's all of them because it's a book. We know that.
Yeah. Okay. And in it, there's a letter. So you think it's kind of all of it. Well, this is one of those a little bit tricky questions, okay? And this is how I would answer this. James is one section of the Bible, which is the big book, and we call that a book. So if you are if you're in church or you go to a Bible study, someone may say, turn to the book of James, okay? So the reason that we do that is because all of the different titled sections in your Bible were different books. They didn't exist altogether initially, but exactly right, it is also a letter. Now, you could consider each of the different books a chapter because, you know, chapters have different books have different sections called chapters, but normally we would say that each individual book has a chapter. So we wouldn't really call it a chapter, but it is a book and a letter. Okay, question two, who wrote the Bible? Whoa, you guys might be getting kind of smart here, and maybe I'm trying to trick you a little bit. Right back there, you had your hand up very quickly. What's your name? Oh, the disciples wrote the Bible? Anybody agree with that? The disciples wrote the Bible? No? Oh, we got a little, okay, I like this. What would you say? Oh, you going to go into theology someday? You going to like teach at a seminary maybe? Okay, so she said, God wrote the Bible, but he had the disciples or other people write it down. How many of you think that that's a pretty good answer? That's a pretty good answer. Let's see. Okay, here's a big word. And if you want to write a note, you could maybe write this word because this is an important word to know. Inspire or inspired. God inspired human authors. Now, what does that mean, to be inspired? Inspire means to give thoughts or words to someone. How many of you have ever watched a show or something on YouTube, like maybe skateboarding or rollerblading or paddleboarding, and you watched that clip, and then you wanted to go out and get a skateboard or learn to rollerblade or something like that? Have anyone ever done that? Or maybe you watched a sport that you'd never seen before and you're like, that looks super fun. I want to do that. That's kind of what it means to be inspired. You can be influenced by someone, okay? Sometimes you can listen to a song and be inspired. It can move you. In another way, I could inspire you more directly and I could say, hey, I have a letter that I want to write to someone, but I don't have a good way to write it down. Could I tell it to you, and then you write it down? And in that sense, you've inspired me to write. You've given me thoughts or words that I write down. And in the Bible, you're absolutely right. God wanted everything in the Bible written down. And he inspired human authors to write in different ways. There were some people that he met directly face to face with. One of those people was Moses. And the Bible tells us that when Moses would go into the tent of meeting and meet with God face to face, like a friend meets with a friend, that his face would glow. He would come out of the meeting and his face would be shining. And people actually got scared about it. And they were like, Moses, please cover your face up. And so he would cover his face and walk around with a veil. But from those meetings where he would meet with God, he received the law that he wrote down in the Bible. He also received the Ten Commandments when he went up on the mountain and God told him the 10 words or the 10 commandments. Those came directly from God. But other people like the prophets, okay, or the prophets, all right, they sometimes had visions, so God gave them dreams in their sleep. Or maybe somehow whispered in their mind something, but it wasn't a direct conversation like Moses had. And so the prophets would then take what they heard or what they were inspired to write and write it down and then give the message to the people. But then there's some authors like in the New Testament who saw Jesus live and they heard him teach and they watched what he did and they thought it was so important that they wanted to capture all of those things and tell other people about them. So they took all those stories and they wrote them down. But we believe that God was inspiring them as they were writing, he was bringing things to their mind, and he was kind of shaping their words. And so we have the Gospels, like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, because God inspired those authors to write them down. And then there's one book in the very end of the Bible. It's crazy, okay? It's like maybe the weirdest book in the Bible. It's called Revelation. And God inspired John to write Revelation by giving him all these crazy dreams and visions of things of the future and stuff that was going to happen, okay? So the Bible is written by God, but it's written by authors. And the same for James. James, as a pastor, wanted to write some things to people that he had in his church or that were spread out all over the place. And so he's like, I want to encourage these people inspired by God. And so he wrote things down to encourage them and help them. But he did it in the form of a letter. Okay? So God inspired human authors. Question 3, what language is the Bible written in? Ooh, who knows that? Okay, what language are we reading the Bible in? English. Is that what the original authors wrote the Bible in? What are the languages? What is it? Hebrew. Okay, and? There's actually two more, but really just one other main one. Hebrew. And which testament was written in Hebrew? The Old or the New? The Old, okay. So Moses, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all those guys wrote in Hebrew. But what is the other half of the Bible, the New Testament? What was that written in? Anyone know? Oh, we got Nike back here. What was the other language? So close. Okay, yep. It wasn't Latin. It was, yeah, Greek. Absolutely, Greek. Okay? So we have Hebrew and Greek. All right, look at that. You know what's cool about Hebrew? Hebrew, you don't read left to right like in English. You read from right to left. All right? And they have, you know, different kind of letters and stuff. And then we have Greek, okay? And who can read that? That kind of looks like English. Abba. Abba, ho, pater. That's what we talked about last night, that we call God Father, like Daddy. So that's what it looks like in the Greek, okay? Now, how do we get from Hebrew and Greek to English? Translate. Yeah. So there are people who study the original languages, and then they say, okay, I know English, and I also know Greek and Hebrew, so how can I tell someone who reads English what the Bible said originally, okay? So that's how the Bible was written originally. Okay, so let's summarize what we have here in the Bible. Next slide here. This is what I want you to know about the Bible. The Bible is a portable library of stories and writings about how Jesus saves us. So the Bible is a portable library of stories about how Jesus saves us. I need some volunteers. I need 5 volunteers. Okay, green right there. Back row on the left. Yep, stand up. Back row. Yep, come on up. Right there. You don't need your Bible, just yourself. Right there, Huey. Okay, Huey on the shirt. Yep, right there. And right here in the red, how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. One more right there. Yep, come on up. Okay. You guys are going to be my librarians, because I just want you to think about what you have in this book called the Bible, okay? All right, so here's a Bible. This is your portable library. This isn't just one book, okay? It's not like Harry Potter or something like that. It's a collection of books like we've talked about, okay? So they wrapped it up into one cover, and you get to carry it around with you. But each of these books are written in a little bit different way, okay? So we have types of books in the Bible, all right? We got a big guy here, okay? What's your name?
Thiele.
Thiele? Thiele. Thiele. All right. Round of applause for Seeley. Okay. Now we're going to give Seeley the first section of books, which we call history. And this is going to be a little bit different. So if you're in your Bibles, look at the book of Genesis, okay? And then go all the way up to the book of Job. So we have Genesis through Job. Is that a big chunk of the Bible?
Yeah.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Here is the first book. Okay, we're going to get to Genesis. Almost there. Genesis is a long book. Okay, Genesis, right there. Okay, there you go. There's your first book. Okay, you're a librarian, so I want you to keep track of that, okay? Then we have Exodus, okay? Exodus, that's another long book. And in Genesis, God is telling the story of how he created the world and how the people came about, all right? And how he rescued people from slavery. Oh, missing a little bit. No, that's yours. You're the history guy, okay? So we're still in history. All right. Now, there's some other books. Oh, but the next one is Leviticus. Now, Leviticus has some history, but it's also a book that we call law. Anyone ever read Leviticus? Yeah? Okay. It's pretty cool, but it's a bunch of rules and stuff. And you're going to be our law librarian, okay? So you're keeping track of the books that are mostly about rules and stuff like that. Oh, forgot a page. There you go. Don't lose that. Okay. Then we get to Numbers. Numbers is kind of history, but it has some laws too. So let's get this out of here. Okay. All right. There's Numbers. Hey, keep those separate because they're different books, okay? They like need to be on a shelf. Okay. Then we get to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is like a big speech, but it has, we're going to call it law, okay? Because it's going back and it's giving us a bunch of rules, okay? So here we go. Deuteronomy. There you go. All right. And now, hold on. Last page of Deuteronomy. Get that in order, okay? Then we're getting to Joshua and Samuel and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. I don't know if I can do this. Okay, here we go. We're up to Job. Okay. All the way from Joshua all the way to Esther. So strong. Okay, you take that. And now you rip those up into the individual books, okay? Because I'm going to move on. Now we get to Job, okay? Now Job is our next section. Job is a story about a guy, but it's also a poem. Okay, yeah, yep, go ahead. Divide them up. Get them done. And then we have Psalms, okay? So let's see. We got Job, Psalms, Proverbs, okay? Here we go. There you go. There's Job, okay? So you're a poetry guy. Do you like poetry? Okay. Do you know a poem? Roses are red, violets are blue. Something, something, I do too. Okay. Oh, that kind of worked. All right, then we get to Psalms. Psalms are poems or actually songs, so it's like a song book, and it's a pretty big one. So then we get to Psalms, and we take that apart. And then we have the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is also kind of poetry, okay? But these are things that, you know, are wisdom sayings, and they help us know how to live a wise life, but they're kind of poems. They're not just direct statements, all right? Then we get Ecclesiastes. Okay, that one's depressing. Just save that one for later, okay? Great book, though. Then we get into the prophets, okay? And prophets are a special section because prophets are people who were preachers, had a message from God, and wanted to give it to other people. Now, this is a big section. We got Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the way through. Then we have some what we call minor prophets. This is a big one, okay? Okay, you divide those up, okay? Get those into separate books. And then we have the New Testament, okay? New Testament. In the New Testament, we hear about Jesus. And remember how I talked about the people that wanted to write the stories of Jesus' life? Well, that's something called a gospel. They wrote Jesus' life in a way that made some special points about him, okay? And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all the gospels. Go ahead and rip those up. Don't rip them up. I mean, just separate them, okay? You're a librarian. You don't rip books, okay? Oh, and here's John. I forgot John. I know, I do. Hold on a second. Here we go. I almost shorted you on the Gospels. I don't want to do that. We got to get to John. Okay, there's John. There you go. Okay, I need another volunteer. All right, right there in the pink. Yep, nope, you. Right there. Come on up. Okay. So in the New Testament, we also have some history. Okay. And the book of Acts is kind of one of those history books. So we're going to include that because it's just mainly telling us what people did. Where's our historian? Law, you got history over here. Okay, so you get some old and some new. Okay. But then we get to something called letters. All right. So the rest of the book are actual letters. These are things that people sat down, maybe at a desk, or they dictated to a servant or something like that. They would write it out and they would send it to people. So when you write a letter, how do you begin the letter? Dear so-and-so, okay? And that tells the person, hey, this is a letter from my friend, whoever, all right? And so they wrote these letters, and we have the book of Romans is a letter, Titus is a letter, Ephesians is a letter, Galatians are a letter. Often they're titled to who they were sent to or to the area that they were sent to. Can you separate those as my librarian here? Okay, so go through and rip off Romans. Okay, there you go. So rip Romans, and then that's Corinthians. So go ahead and separate them out. Okay. So while my librarians work on their different groups, take a look at these sections that we had here. We had history. That's where people are basically trying to tell you what God did and how he worked. And then we have the law, which are rules about how to conduct worship or how to treat each other. Things like don't, you know, if you're out in the woods and you hurt someone with an axe, run away. Or build a fence around your house on the second story so people don't fall off. Or if you offer something to God, make sure it's a perfect animal and doesn't have blemishes because God doesn't want your junk, okay? So those are the kind of things that are in law. Then we get to poetry, which were the beautiful like psalms and other things like that. They touch our emotions as well as teach us about God. So that's why we often sing things that sound like the psalms or have poetry. Then gospel tells us about Jesus' life and his teachings. And then letters come after the gospels to encourage us to follow God, okay? Everyone tracking? Now, here's the cool thing. Okay, first of all, are you glad that you don't have to carry 66 books in a book bag everywhere you go just to have your Bible with you? Who's happy for that? I am happy too. I'm so glad that people got smart and said, you know what? Let's take all of these books, let's glue them together and put them in one portable book called the Bible. It's a library, okay? But here's the other really neat thing about all of these different books. Even though they're separate, even though they're individual, written by different people over hundreds of years, they all tell the story of Jesus. All of these books tell one big story about Jesus and how he saved us. Remember, the Bible is a portable library of stories and writings about how Jesus saves us. Kyle, that sounds good, but how in the world does the law tell the story about Jesus and what he did for us? Well, the whole law was, first of all, to tell us about this thing called sin. And when we do things that God doesn't want us to do, that we have this problem called sin and it has to be taken care of somehow. And then God told the people in the law how to take care of those sins, but so he gave us sacrifices and things. But how many of you know that you can't sacrifice an animal and be completely free of your guilt? Who has to forgive you? Jesus does. And Jesus we call the Lamb of God. Well, the law tells us how to sacrifice lambs in order to have our sins removed in the Old Testament. But it's really about Jesus. It's actually pointing to what he would do for us to forgive us of our sins. So the whole story is about Jesus and how he saves us. And so then we get to the book of James. And remember, what kind of story is James or book is James? It's a letter. And so James is hoping that you've read a lot of these other books. And now he's going to tell you and he's going to remind us as his readers how to follow Jesus and how to be a servant of Jesus. Now here's the last thing I'll say and then we'll be done. How many of you are Harry Potter fans? Okay. Oh, there's some Harry Potter fans. Okay. I need you to quiz me on Harry Potter because I promise you I'm a bigger Harry Potter fan than you. Okay? I know everything about Harry Potter. So here, give me a question and I'll tell you the answer because I know everything about Harry Potter. I'm his biggest fan. Go ahead. You can ask me about a character. You can ask me about a book. You can ask me about anything. What do you think?
How did Harry Potter defeat Voldemort?
Voldemort. He set a trap in the woods. He like dug a hole and then he put like sticks over it and Voldemort fell into the trap. And then a bear ate him. No? Yeah? I think so. Okay, give me another question. What is Hagrid's three-headed dog's Habert's? Hagrid's three-headed dog's name? Bobblehead. Okay. All right, I didn't know that one. What? Give me one more. Who gave Harry the scar? Well, he was out playing baseball with a friend, and he got too close, and his friend, like, swung the bat around, and it clocked him right in the head, and then he had to go get... Okay. Hold on. We could do this all day, and if you guys haven't figured out right now, I kind of lied to you. I have never read a Harry Potter book. I have never seen a full... Hold on. Shh. I've never watched a full Harry Potter movie. Now, do you guys see the problem? Listen up. Do you guys see the problem with me saying that I'm a huge Harry Potter fan and I know everything about him, and yet I have never read the books or watched the movie? Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Some of us, those of us who say that we're Christians, some of us say that we love Jesus and that we want to follow him and that he is the most important thing to us in the whole world, but we've never read his book. And I want to encourage you guys, don't be that person. And I know that you're young and you're in grade school, and that's okay. Some of you have already started reading the Bible. Maybe some of you got the Bible for the first time to come to camp, and that's okay. But I just want to encourage you that as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, you need to read your Bible. You need to read it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Read every type. Some of it will be hard and it won't make sense. That's okay. That's why you have friends and parents and pastors that can help you, okay? But don't be like me with Harry Potter and say that you want to follow him, but you've never read his book. You need to learn about this book. It's a special book. God tells you who Jesus is and how Jesus has saved you in that book. So I just want to encourage you to be a reader of it, okay? All right. Thank you guys so much. Librarians, you can take your books with you if you want, or you can leave them on the stage. Doesn't really matter. Let me pray for us, and then you guys can head out of here, okay?
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.